This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, an American executive in Asia saw enough and now only wants to sell American-made products. Plus, which city in America does the 4th of July best and the worst? How did Los Angeles do? We have the list. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
How about an L.A. County trail that could kill you? Why it's being shut down. That's coming up.
Tapped into the cosmic news feed, it's Jay Capadonia.
There's a group of smarties out there that can tell what you had for lunch today 50,000 years from now. I got details.
And the master of subliminal messages, Chris Martin.
Phil, we have an update on the youngest pilot to ever fly solo around the world.
What do you mean by that, anyway?
You know, I'm not exactly sure.
All right, let's get things started. And thanks for tuning in.
Well, it's Friday.
Yeah.
I think I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, you did.
The emphasis?
Yeah.
All right, Jennifer, let's start with you because a lot of people like to go hiking. And this is one of the most popular hiking spots, especially when you do the news. You tend to say it a lot, but tell us what's happening.
Yeah, you do. It's public land, but it's being closed to hikers because, well, they keep dying there. It's a super dangerous trail. It's being closed to the public. The U.S. Forest Service is blocking off a little area known as Upper Falls in Eaton Canyon. And yes, if you've watched the news, you know, every few weeks or so, there's a helicopter rescue. Actually, there have been 60 of those since 2012. And five people have died on the trail since 2011. It's just that it's so beautiful. And people see YouTube videos and pictures of these upper waterfalls. And they say, hey, let's go up there. But it's actually really treacherous. So it's kind of like, amateur hour. Whereas the really skilled hikers, these guys known as the Coalition of American Canyoneers, are planning on suing if they close it. They say they're going to start a fundraiser to hire an attorney to fight the National Forest because they've been using the canyon for 25 years and they haven't had to have the helicopter.
These guys have enormous ears? Is that what it is? They have canyon ears? All right. Never mind. You know...
That joke just fell completely flat.
Fell on
I'm
deaf
sorry.
Ears.
Got to give it a shot at least.
Well, you know, the problem is these guys are sitting on their couch and they're watching Bear Grylls do all this stuff and he's making it look easy. It's like, oh, look at the, let's go to this place, honey. And you can't be doing
that. Yeah, shorts and a t-shirt, tennis shoes, and then the sun comes down. You don't know where you are and you get stuck and then they have to bring in the copters.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Jen?
At a taxpayer's expense.
Yeah.
All right. You know, another dangerous place on this planet was built back, what, in the 1920s up in San Francisco
actually,
Bay?
I believe 1937 is the number I have here.
Maybe they started in 29.
Yeah, they did. They built that thing for a long time. A lot of people died building the Golden Gate Bridge. But you know what? Since it opened in 1937, more than 1,400 people have jumped off it to kill themselves, including a record 46 suicides last year. So they're thinking about putting this suicide net up under the Golden Gate Bridge. The board is voting on that today about funding. They've already kind of decided they want to do it. But they got testimony from this guy named Kevin Hines, who actually jumped off the bridge in 2000 when he was 19 years old, survived, said he felt instant regret. The second he was plummeting through the air, he's like, what did I do?
That is valuable information, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. He says he jumped. He believes a net will deter suicidal people because people with high hopes, they say, hey, oftentimes it's the bridge or nothing. It's got the nice view. And
I know you're in the mobile newsroom today. Did a clown train just go by?
Yeah, that was what that was.
It was?
Actually, I forgot to turn my phone down.
Oh, that's what that is. You know, your ringtone is a
choo-choo train.
Your ringtone is a clown train. Okay. All right.
Yeah, when I'm getting a text from my husband, if you must know.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
It is Friday. Is it date night tonight?
Tell him I said hello. So
I certainly will.
Well, here's the thing. People go to the movies and there's so much death in movies. Everybody's dying. You go to the zombie movie and 1,000 people die and everybody's laughing. I mean, it's
right.
It's what happens in movies these days.
But you know what? There are a few things in the movies that people get really upset about. And it's like, no, you can't kill the dog. That's the thing that you can have a zombie apocalypse. You can have the planet going extinct. You can have all kinds of, you know, horrible things running amok. But if you kill a dog, that's crossing
you
the line.
You are so right.
Yeah, I totally
it's
get that.
It's really true.
Because you're sitting in the movie theater and the machines are taking over and you don't care if some guy is getting melted down, but you watch Old Yeller and here come the waterworks.
Oh, and you're just, oh, it's so upsetting. So now there's a website that's actually called Does the Dog Die? And it's all you have to do if there's a movie you want to see and you just don't want your heart broken in that particular way, you check it out. It lists hundreds of films and it'll just tell you straight up, is the dog going to die or not?
That's
so you
awesome.
Can decide. Yeah.
I rented Where the Red Fern Grows, Jen. Is there a spoiler alert on that one?
Oh, man, that movie.
The dog dies in that movie?
I think they both do.
Yeah, I have such few memories of that movie, except for just weeping my eyes out for weeks. I don't even remember what the movie was about, but I remember crying so hard.
I'm trying to remember if Air Bud died.
Oh, God, Phil, come on.
Air Bud does not die. No? That one was on there.
He's doing a backflip dunk. And
he's a beloved character.
But there's a tearjerker moment in the movie, is there not?
What'd he do, miss a three-pointer and they had to take him out back?
Must be it.
On the topic of sports... We have some huge breaking news in hockey today. The Anaheim Ducks announced...
and we're back to the hockey show
with
Phil Hewlett.
Because this is big news.
No, I know.
This is huge news.
I'm just kidding, man.
Trust me, guys.
You
guys, yeah, I know you guys don't have a clue about this. Just follow my lead.
Okay, bye.
The Anaheim Ducks announced today that the club has acquired center Ryan Kesler and a third-round selection in the 2015 NHL entry draft from the Vancouver Canucks in exchange for Nick Bonino, Lucas Spisa, and the 24th overall pick, that's first round, and the 85th overall pick, third round of this year's entry draft.
Why is Bonino a familiar name?
Because we had him on this here program.
Oh!
He's a good
guy.
That's
right.
Okay.
I'm going to miss him. I think a lot of people thought Spisa was going to be trade bait for some time, but Kesler is a crown jewel, and he held a news conference today, and just as introductory message, he had this to say.
Today was started a new chapter in my life, and for me and my family, it's a positive move, and we're excited to be going to Anaheim, but at the same time, we've called Vancouver our home for the past 11 years, and we have friends on the team, friends in the city, and the organization's treated us very well, but saying that I'm going to Anaheim to win a championship, and it's going to be my sole goal and my team's sole goal, and that's basically it.
That a boy, Jay.
Did they wake him up?
That a boy for ruining the moment. You know the hockey guys are all farmers. They're not flashy guys.
But still, I mean, come on, be excited. You're coming to Southern California, homeboy.
Ryan Kessler's a big deal. I welcomed him to Southern California. He's probably going to move the family to Newport Coast or something like that. Never want to leave again. Remember, did you hear him say, my team?
Yeah.
Well, I had a chance during the Q&A session of the newser to ask him a question. And I asked him if he thought the 2013 Ducks were a lot like the 06 Ducks, just a Chris Pronger-like trade away from a Stanley Cup. And does he feel like he's that missing piece this time around? Here's what he said.
You know, it's tough to compare yourself to Chris Pronger to a Stanley Cup winning team. But, you know, I think there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle. And, you know, I think I can fit into that team and that organization well and you know, be a good number two behind Getzlaff.
See, and he already has a Southern California accent. He didn't say organization like the Canadians do. And he's from, he's been playing in Vancouver.
I'm excited about it.
Are you?
Do you think he knew who you were when they announced Phil Hewlett from KFWB?
No clue.
No.
But he'll know who I am the first time he scores a goal.
That's right.
All right. Very good. So, moving on from there.
He said it's going to be tough to be. I'm going to try this. Okay.
Yeah.
He said it's going to be difficult to be a number two to Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of number two, Phil, a team of archaeologists have found a piece of poop that is 50,000 years old. How is that for a segue?
Poop story. Jen's going to love it.
Yeah. Shouldn't that be my story?
Pay attention here, Jennifer, because I'm going to tell you, 50,000 years ago, contrary to popular belief, Neanderthals did not eat only meat. They actually ate plants, nuts, and this thing called a tuber. Do we know what a tuber is?
It's like a potato.
It's like a potato.
Yeah, it's like a potato. It's the stuff that grows in the ground.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't want to ever eat one.
It's not a hamburger, so
no
you don't know what it is.
No French fries, no chips, no nothing for you.
No French fries. Oh, that's what they're made out of? Okay, well, then I recant that statement. Here's kind of the interesting thing. It turns out that Neanderthals not only used their teeth for eating, they used them for tools because there's sand in this fossilized piece of
poo.
Dung, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. So they're like basically gnawing on rocks to shape them into whatever they need to make.
So 50,000 years from now, if they happen to save some of ours, they'll know what our society and our culture was like.
They will find out that you had a pastrami sandwich, Phil.
Although in this case, if I do meet a vegetarian over the weekend, can I call them a Neanderthal?
Hey-o, I think so.
And we'll see if I make it back to the program on Monday. Hey, where's the best place to see fireworks this 4th of July? In fact, which city does Independence Day right? You'll find out which town is at the top of the list and which is at the bottom and how Los Angeles did next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. We're in the Los Angeles area, of course, and 4th of July is coming up, and I have Los Angeles on the mind because I am hoping against hope that we made it to the top of the list. Joining us live is the CEO of WalletHub.com, where they just put out the 2014 Best and Worst Cities for 4th of July celebrations. Odysseus Papadimitriou, hello to you, sir, and we're thrilled to have you on the program.
No, thanks for having me.
What a name. What is it again?
It's you're like a mythological Greek
he's
guy,
like
aren't
down
you?
Down off Mount Olympus to talk to us.
Well, he's had this conversation 100 times in your life, haven't you?
That's true.
Yeah, it's an epic name, sir.
Thank you.
What do you do to measure a great city for this list?
So for 4th of July, we look at 14 different metrics to rank the 100 largest cities. And those metrics vary all the way from what is the weather forecasted to be on July 4th to how expensive hotels are in each city, how walkable each city is, traffic congestion, average alcohol prices, gas prices, acres of parkland, you name it.
Wow, so you guys really looked at a giant list.
That's right, yeah.
So give us an example then, which is a city that, not necessarily the best one, but which city does it right?
So Washington, D.C., where we're based out of, ranked number 5 in the list. And Washington, D.C. has a few things going for it. Number one, in terms of number of attractions and things to do on a per capita basis, it ranks very strongly. Number two, there are just a lot of things to do also in terms of food establishments. Alcohol is not that expensive compared to some of the other major cities. So that's...
You know what? When I think about it, though, I'm thinking about the fireworks, and D.C. is one of those cities. New York is that way. There are a handful of other ones where there is a kind of a unilateral approach to the fireworks show. There's one big D.C. show, and there's one big New York show, you know, out there with the Statue of Liberty. But you come to Los Angeles, and we have a whole bunch of great fireworks shows, a lot of them all along the coast, from Malibu down to L.A. Harbor. and then again all the way down into the Orange County area. And does that come into account? And when you look at Los Angeles, and again, I'm trying to root for us here to see if D.C.'s number five, we got to be in that area somewhere. Do you look at that as a big attraction?
We do, and we wanted to give it more weight. But the problem is that a lot of these cities will not disclose how much they're spending or how long their fireworks shows are going to be. They said, oh, they're funded by private companies, and so we weren't able to get that info. We certainly put a qualitative metric about which cities are known for having great fireworks shows, and as you mentioned, New York and Washington are definitely in that list, but we couldn't quantify it and figure out exactly how different each city is.
Okay.
When it comes to fireworks.
So where did Los Angeles fall on the list then?
So overall ranking for L.A. was 31.
31?
Wow. Oh, come on. Oh.
It's still way above average. 50 is average.
Listen here, Zeus. You've never been here. You've got to come watch one of these fireworks shows, especially down in Redondo Beach.
Jay,
that's the best.
Have some respect. He's the CEO of the company.
Oh.
I'm sorry, sir.
I'm just kidding, buddy. You
but
know
yeah, he's kidding around. But here, I spoke to somebody this morning. She lives in Playa del Rey. I don't know if you know where that is, but it's just a little north of Los Angeles International Airport on the beach. She has a two-story house there, and she could see the ocean, but she could also see fireworks from her balcony, from her living room there, in Malibu, in Marina Del Rey, in Hermosa Beach, in Redondo Beach. She could see four or five different fireworks shows going off all at the same time, and that's a unique and special experience, is it not?
As you said, I've never been on July 4th in L.A., so I cannot attest to that, but it definitely sounds like one. But again, we also looked at a lot of other metrics outside just the fireworks, and some of the things that held back L.A. relative to some of the other cities is the number of public swimming pools per capita, because there are a lot of private swimming pools there. Another one is average gas prices, so for people around L.A.
Yeesh.
Traveling into L.A.
And we're not doing so well in that metric.
Yeah, ranking number 95 on that one.
How about, you know what, we had somebody on last week with a list of the best burritos, and we got number one. Does that help?
Put that there, yeah.
The average beer price is number 76, so you need to work on that so a burrito would be better.
Yeah, we do spend a little money on beer out here, but we've got a lot of the craft stuff as well. But okay, let me ask you this then. If we're above average, give me an example of a city that just absolutely fails.
Oh, most of the North Carolina cities did that. An example would be Durham, North Carolina. Some common characteristics that the North Carolina cities have is they're not friendly at all to walk around. The weather is going to rain on July 4th. It's going to be extremely hot. There are not a lot of public swimming pools on a per capita basis. Not a lot of parks. Relatively expensive for the size of the city, for sure, with, for example, wine ranking number 78. So across all of the metrics, ranking way below average, and on some of them getting the bottom 10 spots.
You know, when you look back at history, though, I mean, there is a rich Revolutionary War history in North Carolina, so this is surprising to me, and they have Fort Johnston out there. There's the battle near Cape Fear River and Cross Creek and all the different things. If you know your Revolutionary War, Brunswick County is rich with, you know, just stories about patriots and revolutionary this and that. It's just amazing to me to think that state, amongst all of them, would have so many cities that are just failing at this.
Yeah, and some of it, to be fair to them, you know, the weather is a big factor on July 4th. Obviously, a lot of people want to be outdoors. Some of it is just pure luck as well. And it happens to be that they are forecasted to have a pretty bad weather this coming Friday.
Okay.
So their cannonball and musket display is out of sight, though, Phil.
Yeah, I love
right?
it. I love
right.
that. So number 31 for Los Angeles. Is that what we're sticking with? That's inked. There's no changing that?
Maybe next year.
Okay, we'll do our best. Odysseus Papadimitriou, thank you very much, and good luck over there at WalletHub.com. And we put a link to your entire list on the links page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Thank you, sir. All right, so what do you think?
We do all right.
Cool. Do you guys? Do you get your own fireworks? Do you guys go to the local shops and grab some
it's
of the?
It's not allowed in my
Whistling
town.
Whistling Dixies or anything? Yeah,
illegal where
well,
I am.
Well, you still hear them all over.
Yeah, but you know. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, if you can be sure they're fireworks.
Those
and not
people
just guns,
are scofflaws. Scofflaws.
Jen brings up a good point. You don't know if it's a bottle rocket or a 22.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's a big problem on New Year's Eve. You just can't tell the difference.
What if on the 4th of July you're flying over America and you're a young kid and you're trying to go around the world in your plane, Chris?
Well, then you would be Matthew Guthmiller.
No kidding.
Yes, you would.
We talked about him about a month ago or so on this program, and how's he doing?
We did. Here's a little bit of an update. He's just 19 years old, and today he will be landing his little plane in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. He's had all kinds of problems. He's trying to circumnavigate the globe. He's had fueling problems, mechanical problems. He even ripped the crotch in his shorts while he was climbing pyramids in Cairo. But none of it is going to stop him from being recognized as the youngest solo pilot to ever fly around the world. He's going to be landing back here in San Diego on July 8th to complete his journey before he goes back home to Aberdeen, Washington.
No kidding. Well, we're rooting for him.
We
first
sure
one.
Are.
And he's still going to be 19 and still going to be the youngest when he makes it all the way around.
Sure, yeah. Really mature, though. I was reading some of his quotes. Seems like a real good kid.
Yeah. He's probably going to get the chicks, too, when he gets back.
There you go.
Right?
Hey, bonus.
Baby, you want to go around the world? I've already been there.
Wow.
That's pilots, pilots always.
That's the line.
Fly boys get
that
the chicks.
That is the line. Hey, up next, you are going to hear from a former executive of an American company operating in Asia and why... Now he is dedicating his life to products made in America. That's coming up next here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. Glad you tuned in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. We love when you visit our website. There's so many things there. You can listen to any of our past programs right there on the homepage. They're on demand, MP3, download. And also, if you go to the How to Listen page, you can subscribe with your favorite player, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever it is, and never miss a single show because they'll just load when you're not paying attention. They'll be there, play it. You hear the latest program whenever you want to hear it. And we love when you do that. Thank you. And also, Jennifer, I want to let you know that on our links page, I added your Does the Dog Die website. So if people want to check if the dog dies in the movie.
Yeah, before you go, you got to know.
You do. All right. Made in America. We've all heard that phrase before. We bought made in America. But it seems more and more we're buying things that are made in China and elsewhere. You are about to hear from a former executive of an American company that used to manufacture products in Asia, or they may still do that. He used to work there as they were doing it. And now he is 100% red, white, and blue-blooded, made in America. Joining us live is the author of the new book, Remade in America, Todd Lipscomb. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Phil, it's great to be here today. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, tell us, you're welcome. Tell us about your job in Asia. Take us back to that when you were an American executive and you had this epiphany.
You know what? I lived in Asia twice for a total of 7 years with this company. And, you know, I just saw example after example that left me haunted when I got back to the States. You know, the worker conditions, especially at the subcontractor level, all of the pollution spewing everywhere, and then the political intent of places like China, where they know that if they absorb our factories and our jobs, that they'll be the next superpower, and that's their goal, Phil.
Okay, and I could certainly see that because there's been a lot of talk about the economic takeover of the world. But your company was manufacturing products there. Can you say what those products were or what the company
is? I don't think there's any problem with that. We were making hard drives in Asia. I used to work for Western Digital, in fact. But when I got back, I founded this startup company to help American-made products. And we've got over 680 small, mostly family-owned businesses on the website now. Yeah.
So specifically, what did you see then that gave you this thought that, okay, I'm done with this Asia thing and now I've got to promote Made in America?
Well, here, you know, I grew up believing in college, Phil, all about free trade and stuff. But I saw in Asia, I saw in Japan, I saw in Korea, I saw in China and so on, that there's no such thing as free trade in Asia. They look out for their own interests first and, buy American-made products only when they absolutely have to. You know, it's ridiculous, the trade deficit. You know, we had our economy shrink by 2.9% in the first quarter, Phil. Yet, you know, we had almost another record trade deficit in that same period of over $130 billion. All of those dollars leaving our shores is insanity. If we could just push the needle back a little bit, we would create millions of jobs here in the United States, not just at the manufacturer themselves, but at their dozens of suppliers, and their suppliers too, and so on.
Okay, Todd, this is Jay here, and I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I think the idea of having American-made products and buying American-made and go USA, all that, and I'm for it. I get it. But isn't that going to raise the prices of just about everything here in the United States if we have to pay somebody versus, I don't know, what is it, 50 cents an hour over there versus, you know, a minimum wage, or now that, you know, the president wants to make it 10 bucks an hour? Isn't that going to raise the prices of like a regular T-shirt, $15 an hour? I mean, don't you think it's kind of like a give and take and a necessary evil?
Jay, you know, I'm not saying that we get rid of all imports. I'm just saying we need balance. But in my second stint over there, I actually oversaw Asia Finance, so I saw the real numbers. And wages are just one factor out of many. If you take, for example, the lack of environmental controls out of the formula, in some industries, that alone is as much as the wages. You know, much less, you know, all the subsidies, direct cash subsidies, bank loans, and so on. You know, again, they're pushing in ways that don't make economic sense to absorb these factories as rapidly as they can. And that's what we're facing today. You know, manufacturing jobs here anyway pay more, on average about, including benefits and all, about $30 an hour, you know, versus these jobs abroad, you know, because you have to have skills, you have to have ability and know-how. And yes, the prices are higher in the beginning, but usually the quality of the American-made products I found is much, much better. So, yes, you're paying more up front, but it lasts longer, so it's a better value in the long run. Plus, we're putting our own people to work and getting them, you know, off the unemployment line.
You know, it's one of those things where you're pushing a ball up the hill, because now there's the rise of manufacturing in South Asia, and they don't plan on turning things around either.
Yeah, you know, but we are, at least for the moment, I mean, unless our economy continues to decay, we are the market that they want to ship to. So we can make it here. Maybe we need to automate more, and yes, that does mean fewer jobs, better jobs, and still means a lot of jobs at our suppliers. So there's other ways we can compete against this wage factor to do it here and manufacture here. I think we'll see it. It may not be in the next 4 or 5 years, but people are waking up to it and demanding more and more made in USA. And I think in 10 or 12 years, as you know, people look around for opportunity and start to realize that if we made stuff here, we might actually have jobs for our kids.
We're talking to Todd Lipscomb. He's the author of the book Remade in the USA. And Todd, our guy here, Chris Martin, has a question for you.
Todd, I wanted to ask you about the Asian economy, because I got to spend some time in China for a golfing outing. And what stood out to me was, we got to visit all these illustrious golf courses, and they were building these magnificent buildings all over the landscape. Yet there was no one living in them, no one occupying them, no one stopping us from getting onto the tee box. And all of the residents of China were living in these almost hovels that were built from the ground straight up, and they were hanging their clothes out the windows. Long term, isn't what they're doing sort of like a recipe for collapse?
You're making an excellent, excellent point, too. You notice that, too. It's bizarre. Go to any major city in China, and you'll see tower after tower that's empty and that there's no lights on at night. You know, somebody had to pay to build that stuff, right? I mean, somebody's loaned somebody money. In many ways, it's a false economy going over there. But in the meantime, we're dealing with outsourcing of tens of thousands of our factories here. So, yes, I agree that they can't keep this up. It's, you know, and it's a shell game. But on the other side of the coin, the sooner we react to it on the manufacturing job, the more factories we can save here.
Yeah, but does also that point that Chris raises and you agree with erode a little bit of your concern?
Well, in the long run, again, yes. But, you know, but once you close a factory here and move that machinery abroad, it's very, very difficult, Phil, to restart it. It's not like when we just shut down, you know, like it used to be, all right, they would go down to one shift from two shifts. When that factory completely shuts, those jobs are dead, you know, at least in the short term. So, yeah, that's what we're fighting right now. I mean, they're on a spending spree that's unprecedented in history. You know, And we're dealing with aspects of that, but we've allowed it to happen, too. I mean, Washington should pay attention to what's going on, and we Americans need to pay attention, too. You know, we vote with every single purchase we make. And believe it or not, like I said, there's still thousands and thousands of American-made products out there. We just need to know where to look and do a little bit of research online.
And people can get some help when they read your book, Remade in the USA. We have it in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's featured prominently there. Todd Lipscomb, thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Thanks again, Phil. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. There you go. So you decide what you want to do. This is the point where if we were one of those shows where we took a bunch of phone calls, we'd give the numbers and say, okay, you agree, you disagree. But, you know, it's one of those tough things, Jay. I think you pointed it out correctly that people just want a deal. They want quality. But like Todd just said there, we vote with our dollar. And are we voting for China? Are we voting for India? Are we voting for USA?
Here's a horrible story out of Australia that deals with exactly what we're talking about. Mother of two bought one of those chargers for her iPhone for about $5 that I'm guessing was not made in the USA, and I'm guessing it was not Apple certified.
Right.
Well, she plugged it in. She's walking around, and then her phone rings. So she picked up the phone. She was electrocuted and died.
Man.
Oh, really?
Do not
Yikes.
Buy a $5 charger.
No, please do not.
240 volts straight to the brain.
And if you're in a cabin in Alaska, surrounded by bears, don't leave the cupcakes out. Jennifer's going to explain that next when we return here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, this is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're so glad you tuned in to KFWB News Talk 980. I'm Phil. Jennifer Bjorklund is here in the newsroom. Actually, there in the newsroom. Jay Campadonia is here in the studio along with Chris Martin. And Jennifer, you have perhaps the story of the day. It sounds cute, and then it has kind of a twist at the end. I don't know if you're going to take us all the way there, but tell us what happened in Alaska on birthday party day.
Well, we've been talking about these bears running amok in Juneau. Oh, didn't we have just like last week talk about the Girl Scouts that had the bears come eat their picnic lunches?
Yeah, Campfire Girls.
I think that was just, yeah, the Campfire Girls. That's
just
right.
Just a little bit more tasty for bears than Girl Scouts.
A little bit. A little bit. So a couple in Alaska getting ready for their kid's birthday party, and they hear some noise in their living room. They go in there. A bear is actually on their skylight on the roof looking in. Oh, comes crashing through the ceiling, then just kind of saunters over the table and starts licking all the cupcakes.
Yes.
The dad's like, I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. So he's watching this from the kitchen behind the door, which is glass. He's looking through going, okay, there's a bear in there. Before the guests could get there, though, any other guests, assuming the bear is one, he opened the door to the backyard, and then they kind of went around the other side and kind of shooed the bear out until it just sort of, you know, ambled on out, cupcakes in its belly.
Yeah, it took
ate,
all
like,
the
cupcakes.
Yeah.
Frosting
yeah.
all over his face.
Jay had a bear in his car that was eating sunscreen.
When I went to the High Sierras, it wasn't actually my car. People camped a few camp spots away from me. During my fishing trip, they left their car window open, and they left sunscreen in the center console, and a little cub just crawled right up in there. I've got pictures, and I'll post a couple to our Facebook page.
Oh, good. Please. He ate all the sunscreen.
He ate all the sunscreen in there, and you could just, you know, you see scratch marks, and they had leather interior.
Oh.
And
oh,
you just kind of go, That's really funny, but man, do I feel bad for you. So lesson learned, roll up your windows, people.
And this is a nightmare for you, Jennifer, because you cook the killer cupcakes.
The really good cupcakes. Yeah, that bear would be having some gastric distress because I think it does the same thing to bears that it does to dogs, that chocolate. They don't like it.
What happened to this bear, by the way? Do you want to go there?
Oh, it just cruised on out. We don't know. We don't know if it's, the bear in the woods, whole thing.
Good.
We don't know.
I'm glad you brought that up, Phil, that Jen makes killer cupcakes because I, for one, haven't had one in a while.
That's right.
It's been a while.
Because
just saying.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
I mean, this mobile newsroom business is starting to get.
Maybe there's a way to remedy that, Jennifer.
We're working on our summer bodies. Come on, Jay. We can't be eating cupcakes.
Yeah. I filled mine out a long time ago.
All right. Let's get a little celebrity news in, shall we?
Sure.
Chris, you have a couple of stories for us?
I do. Here's one. Shia LaBeouf was arrested last night at production of Cabaret. He was at Studio 54. Apparently, he was being disruptive and was charged with criminal trespass and two counts of disorderly conduct. So,
what can you describe for us what he did to earn those charges?
He was chasing after a homeless man in a ripped shirt. He was smoking in the theater and refused to stop. Bystanders said he looked like a bum. They thought he was working on a movie role. So he's been slipping for a while now. He had that whole thing where he's wearing that bag on his head on a red carpet, said, "I am not famous anymore." And they also said they saw him being carted out in handcuffs and that he was crying when he was being hauled out of there.
I heard that he pulled the "Don't you know who I am" inside the cabaret.
No, we don't. You're not famous anymore.
The answer is no, you're not famous anymore. I mean, seriously, let's take this guy seriously and just let him go.
You know what?
Just not ever hear from him again.
I wonder if on some subconscious level with the new Transformers movie out today and Mark Wahlberg taking Shia LaBeouf's place and how wildly popular this version of the movie is. I wonder if on a subconscious level he's thinking he's screaming out for attention.
Oh, what a child.
Well,
that's something to think about, and that's a very astute observation there, Phil.
He's young, but on the other end of the spectrum, Chris, you have what maturity can do for an actor.
I do. Here's an interesting story. Robert De Niro was filming his new movie called The Intern. He was in a Brooklyn neighborhood, and he really wanted to watch the U.S.-Germany World Cup game yesterday. So what did he do? His production crew sent an email to a nearby apartment building. They asked if they could put a satellite dish on their roof so they could pull a signal from there. And De Niro went one step ahead of them. He walked over to one of the residents, and the resident said, "Hey, we're watching the game in here. Why don't you just come on in? You can catch it with us."
Awesome.
Imagine that, You're watching the USA soccer game, and, the guy from Raging Bull and The Godfather comes walking in.
So when he knocks on the door and says, "Hey, can I come in and watch the game?" the first thing out of my mouth, "You talking to me?"
Right, yeah. he'll give you a fake laugh, you know, like he's never heard it before.
You son of a...
I'm going next door now, thanks.
You got any chips and dip or what in there?
Well, you're making me hungry again. We've had KFC, Jay, in the news, it seems, almost every day this week.
It's
so
a
many
great
stories.
Company.
Yeah.
But it's a great company. They've got a great product, Phil.
But weird things happen.
Really. And, this is actually... I love this guy. He's from Rock Hill, South Carolina. And he's a Chick-fil-A worker. Well, he got fired because he went and he robbed a KFC. I just love that. From one chicken joint to the next.
Was he wearing the cow outfit?
No, but evidently he was wearing one of the Chick-fil-A aprons, and that's how they tracked him down.
Oh, no.
KFC all over in the news lately.
Yeah, I know. There are so many stories. We've had them all on this program, and you can catch up with our previous episodes at philhewlettandfriends.com. Shameless plug. And Jennifer, what's going on with Beauty Queen up in Delaware?
Oh, the Beauty Queen up in Delaware. I heard that she was actually canned for being too old.
What?
Like some problem with the birth certificate. Yeah.
How does that happen?
That's
like
fantastic.
You can't turn 25 during your reign as Miss Delaware.
And when you're the Miss of a state, you get to go on to Miss USA, don't you?
Right, right. That's what I understand.
But not if you're too old?
Not if you're too old. Apparently, let's see. I'm looking this story up here because I read it earlier today and I kind of couldn't believe it, that you can't be over 24. Like, if you turn 25 during your reign, that counts as not being 24 when you win the pageant, kind of. So she won on June 14th, but the rules require that she has to be 24 or under during the entirety. And she just kind of misunderstood that. So she may have to, she'll be like an asterisk. She'll be like a little, you know, hash mark in the annals of the future.
Oh,
and
there's like,
you know,
rules and stuff, but I'm so pretty.
Yes.
I'm so pretty. I'm a princess. I should be able to do whatever I want.
I read she lost a scholarship over it too. Like, you get a scholarship being in it.
Yeah, it's more than just the little rhinestone crown.
Well, I bet she's beautiful.
She says she's heartsick and heartbroken, and she's being treated as if she did something morally and ethically wrong.
Now we know the threshold, ladies. If you're 25, you're over. It's it. That's it. You can't.
That's it.
That's
I
no
know.
More.
I,
your life is over.
Aged out.
I kind of take exception to that.
So do we.
But, Jen, you are beautiful.
And you know where all the beautiful people are?
I'm over 25.
All the beautiful people are here in California, are they not?
Yeah.
Now, you remember that website, Hot or Not, where you used to make snap judgments with people's photos and you'd rate them from 1 to 10? Apparently, it still exists as an app. And they take their data and they come up with a list of the hottest U.S. cities. And they broke it down, men and women.
Hmm.
And so what would you say for women, if you were to just guess where the hottest women are?
It's got to be L.A.
New York.
New York, L.A., Beverly Hills, Newport Beach. Would you say Stockton, California?
What?
Really?
Yeah. Men ranked fifth there, but women ranked number one, Stockton, California.
Are you kidding me?
The hottest women.
It's Stockton,
that's like
up north, right?
Yeah.
Like, Sacramento's a hellhole. There's no way that there's hot women up there.
Tell us how you really feel.
Maybe they misunderstood. Maybe they misunderstood, like, really hot women. Like, oh, my God.
All right. The other cities. Riverside is number two.
What? Wow. The 909?
I believe it. I believe
it. Get out of here with that.
And then Santa Ana.
What?
I mean, there's no Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, Newport Beach anywhere near the top 10.
That's because fledgling actors and actresses, they have to drive in from Riverside because they can't afford Beverly Hills yet.
Let's fill it out now. So we had Stockton, Riverside, Santa Ana, Scottsdale, Miami, and then we have San Diego.
Okay, Scottsdale, Miami, San Diego, all college towns.
Anaheim.
Ooh.
All those Disney princesses.
There you go.
Where did Hesperia end up on the list?
You know, it's got to be here somewhere. Is there a mistake?
That's actually pretty good. That's funny.
Hey, we love your comments. We have an email address. It's feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. And we do take emails from beauty queens. Twitter, we're at As We See It Show, facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, associate producer, Nick Reich. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monzen. That's him there on the guitar. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.